Hello. Hello. This is Seven Laws Blog UK. I am David, otherwise... Actually, I used to say that, but I don't say that anymore. Anyway, so... Yes, so I'm David, and today's post is called Do I Need a Rabbi to Live Righteously? Do I need a rabbi to live righteously? Now, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name. Someone called Keith Chopping, or Chopin, may I say that wrong, but it looks like Chopping. Keith Chopping inspired this article, probably more than anyone else. At least he was an influence in its direction. I hope my naming him doesn't put a black mark against his name for others. So the question of the day is this. I'm not a Jew. I want to live a righteous life. I've heard about seven laws and I agree with them. But they're talked about in Jewish tradition. So do I need a rabbi to live a righteous life? Do I need a rabbi full stop? I think Americans would say period, wouldn't they? Anyway, so to clarify, having a rabbi or needing a rabbi doesn't mean having access to Jewish books or books authored by rabbis. In fact, it may not even mean having an, you know, irregular, every now and again email correspondence with a rabbi to get an answer to a question, doesn't it? It means an ongoing personal relationship and regular contact with a rabbi in order to teach and guide you. Now, if you want to cut past all my verbal wranglings and argumentation, just go to the end of the article. I'll leave a clear sign of where I share my own individual, gentle, undisciplined, uneducated opinion, which, as you should know, you are free to ignore. But if you don't care about such a point of view, why did you even waste your time reading this? Why are you on my blog? But if you want to at least get some understanding of my perspective, then please, you're welcome to proceed. So I watched a video some time ago by Rabbi Chaim Richman or Richman called What is a Rabbi and Why You Need One? It was shared by a group called Noah Hyde World Center. His humble answer to the question was yes, and Noah Hyde needs a rabbi. You can find that video on YouTube and see his message and pleasant manner. Now, what was his reasoning? Again, I believe I should understand his argument, the position. Therefore, I choose, before I choose whether to embrace it or reject it. So I'm going to restate that view in my own words now. So his position is this. A rabbi is supposed to represent a chain of knowledge going back to Moses' giving of the Torah, the law at Mount Sinai. Without the claim of omniscience, the rabbi should plug into that knowledge to rightly discern how a person can live right in God's sight in this world. Rabbi Richman believes a rabbi should make life easier by assessing situations and giving advice that helps people, showing that he, the rabbi, cares for the people he advises. And then, to quote him, he says, now, does everyone need a rabbi? Do the non-Jews who seek to know the ways of the Torah and to attach themselves to the God of Israel, do they also need a rabbi? I would say yes. End quote. He refers to the complexities involved in with applying the seven Noahide laws as justification for his stance, as well as how other parts of the Torah apply to non-Jews. Although he acknowledges the plethora of opinions among rabbis which only appear to contradict one another in his eyes, and the confusion this can cause, he falls back on two Jewish teachings. The first says to get a teacher, that you should get a teacher, and the other says to live by the commandments, which interprets as meaning not to be confused, frustrated, or die by the commandments, but rather to live happily by them. He says that by having one teacher, who understands your situation, in order to justly apply his expertise to it, Then you can avoid the confusion and live life acceptable to God by following his, that is the rabbi's, authority, expressing God's will. Okay, that's it. That's how I view what he said. You can go and watch the video to see if I fairly depicted his stance. Now, excuse me, I'm going to carry on. If that's all right by you, doesn't matter if it's all right by you, because I'm still going to do it anyway. Now, even I can admit that his words sound nice. Listening to the video, he has this calm yet interested voice of simple guidance. He's not a bad man, but someone who may well want the best for everyone seeking to live and do good. Can you see where I'm heading? If you had any experience of my articles, I think you may hazard a guess, and it will be roughly correct, most likely. Now, I don't think his tone or his message warrants a response. No, I mean a reaction like, what utter bullshit? Not what utter bullshit. See, I don't think it needs that response or reaction because I don't think it's totally wrong. Before I carry on, let me give my usual disclaimers. Look, for the most, I'm a teacherless student. I'm a fighter without a master. I'm an undisciplined wretch. I read books on my own, I think about the subject and let it roll around in my mind, and then sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes, I talk or I type. I'm a no one talking to himself by means of WordPress. So if you haven't already clicked off this article to something else, then you should know my words have none of the authority Rabbi Richman imputes to rabbis in general. I am just a voice in the internet hubbub, the din, that can be silenced or ignored. Now, you know, writing these articles, all sorts of obscure words just enter or leave my psyche, which I don't commonly use. Hubbub? Din? Damn! I sound like I have both words and sense. Well, at least I have words, right? Anyway, what Keith shared with me from another source in a few sentences made more sense to me than a 10-minute talk from Rabbi Richman. If a Gentile has to consult a rabbi for guidance, has to often consult a rabbi for guidance, then he may as well become a Jew. Now, David, what sense is there in taking the words of that Gentile stranger rather than the teaching of a rabbi? Now, before I answer that fully, let me just make an observation. That rabbi is a stranger to me as well. I don't impute trust simply because of a title or consensus. I still have to balance what he says, just as I balance the words of Keith from another source. But still, why does one idea sit better with me than the other? A number of factors, actually. One factor is that rabbis are akin to Jewish judges that help judge the affairs and disputes among Jews or teachers in the Jewish community. Their primary role is to teach Jewish law and make legal decisions for Jews. Imagine a Gentile, someone outside the Jewish nation in times past, repeatedly having to make journeys to the Jewish judge to get his life in order. Such a notion would seem, well, no, it would be unnatural and impractical. Those people who would frequent a religious teacher of the Jews would either be Jews or Gentiles who are residing in the Jewish nation with the intent of joining it to some extent. Hence, it makes natural sense that if a Gentile, meaning a totally non-Jewish, you know, person living outside of Israel, never going to Israel, not being part of any Jewish community, if that Gentile needs to repeatedly get guidance from a teacher or judge of the Jewish community, then he may as well become a Jew. I know some sects of Judaism have become a lot more evangelistic in their approach, and that the role of rabbi is becoming less like the ancient judge of the Jews and becoming more like a religious minister. Maybe that's why Jews like Richman see more of an international role for the rabbi, where now everyone needs one, instead of a Jew focused on the Torah-based cohesiveness of his own people. with this poor state or low percentage of Torah Judaism amongst Jews now, could it be partly because rabbis took their eyes off the ball, started focusing too much on outsiders, allowing the dilution and pollution of Torah information amongst their own people? I guess that's just a speculation, right? Anyway, a Gentile, I don't have to stop that. David, stop talking to yourself. Okay, anyway. Anyway, a Gentile needing regular attention from a judge of the Jews is just odd. I know it's made to look natural now. I mean, so many Noahides seek to join some teaching group headed by a Jew, a rabbi, right? Seems so right? Another factor is that Rabbi Richman, is a rabbi selling the international necessity of rabbis. Does anyone else except me see something suspect about that? Anyway, another factor against this notion of the international necessity of rabbis is the international lack of rabbis throughout history. Right now, we live in a time of relative ease of communication. Multiculturalism means that some Gentiles may be more likely to see a Jew passing by or a rabbi on the telly. But when it comes to day-to-day life, rabbis can be more rare than gold or diamonds, where some lands may be almost bereft of them. I know that in my life, rabbis are a regular no-show. They are virtually nowhere where I live, and not every Gentile in the UK lives near London. In fact, most do not. Yeah, most do not live near London. I remember a number of times I did have a query about the seven laws or the wider morality for humans. Having no rabbi near me, I would email some rabbi for advice, and the response I received was silence. I mean, of course, maybe they were busy. They should be busy, being so few in the world and having so many customers, Jews and Gentiles. My communication may have got lost in the shuffle. But this again adds evidence to my point. Now, I've got to say, I do not dislike rabbis. And I don't dislike rabbis because they don't answer some of my questions. I did get answers sometimes, for which I'm grateful. Sometimes I contacted Gentile knowers of the seven laws and got no response. So this article isn't based on some bitterness or hatred, just my personal observations and perceptions of how things are. You see, maybe you'd agree, the idea of something being so needed yet not easily accessible seems, well, it just seems wrong. It seems like humans needing water, but the whole plane of human existence having only a few small pools where most of us can't reach it, that makes no sense. In fact, there is a death, that would be a death sentence for most humans. I've lost myself again, haven't I? Now, thank God we are all made in God's image, well, supposedly anyway. And since that refers to our rational and moral faculties, that means figuring out decency and some rationality is within the reach of any mature human throughout history. The same cannot be said for a rabbi or some Jewish judge. As usual, I'll hear the cries of some. But if you don't do good or avoid the wrong without the proper theological framework, without faith in the God of Israel, then it means nothing. But that sort of narrow thinking is what happens when a person gets so focused on the ideals that he forgets the benefits of the lower levels, the practicals. It's the epitome of too heavenly minded, no earthly good. A good friend of mine mentioned the importance of having a Torah approach to this issue. But what does the Torah, at least a written tradition, say about relations between Jews and the other nations, since, well, once Israel received a pact with God that set them apart, made them distinct, separated them from the nations? I read a portion about Jews leading more by examples than evangelism in Deuteronomy 4, but I don't see anything about Jews sending Jewish judges out to the nations, or that the nations need Jewish teachers to do what is right. I don't even read the part where the nations are commanded to obey Jewish judges and teachers, where God institutes the rulership of the rabbi. And in this absence, I'm led to wonder about the so-called authoritative guidance Richmond said rabbis should give Gentiles. I mean, maybe he just meant expertise. I mean, that could be what he meant, possibly. Anyway, let me get back on track. So a Jewish teacher, this rabbi, is supposed to represent a chain of tradition back to Sinai. Yet he then mentions the plethora of opinions amongst rabbis that appear to conflict. In fact, they actually do conflict. They actually do conflict. There are a good amount I'm thinking of right now. His approach, Richmond's approach, is to tell the outsider, just pick a rabbi and do what he tells you. But then the issue is no longer some representative of some tradition. It's only picking sides whilst ignorant of the underlying factors that may well determine whether or not the rabbi you choose is actually teaching Sinai. It reminds me of politics. People don't understand the issues. People who don't understand the issues pick a tyrant to understand for them and to make the decisions. But they're not knowledgeable enough to understand the issue. Yet they magically... Thank you very much. They magically become knowledgeable enough to pick the right political candidate. And then the Gentile world turns to the mess it is. And with that in mind, sure, let the ignorant Gentile pick the right Jewish teacher slash judge slash rabbi, right? I mean, there's a reason for my being incredulous. And then some will say, wait, let me just do something. One sec. Okay, I shall now proceed. You may have heard nothing, but believe me, something happened. Anyway, so there's a reason for my being incredulous. But someone's going to say, but the Jewish dictum, David, make for yourself a teacher, right? Live by the commandments, right? I guess so few Jews need teachers now that there is a surplus for Gentiles, right? I mean, Judaism is now rife amongst the Jews, so now Gentiles can get themselves a what? A teacher. But wait, I know Gentiles can't be rabbis, but can't a Gentile be a teacher? I mean, and if a Gentile can be a teacher, then is a rabbi so needed? I mean, can't the rabbi teach a Gentile sufficiently enough so that the Gentile can go and teach other Gentiles, leaving the Jew free to help fix the problems in his own people, with his own people? I mean, or maybe it's just too complex and complicated for us, the outsiders. Maybe it does make sense for the law for non-Jews, you know, cannot be applied by non-Jews. I mean, that makes sense, right? The law for non-Jews can't be applied by non-Jews. I mean, that could make sense, maybe. Or maybe that undermines the ancient teachings that we Gentiles should set up our courts, choosing our judges. Maybe that teaching should have been written as follows. The law of courts and laws is that Gentiles should choose rabbis to make rulings and decisions according to the seven laws and warn the people against them. And that's according to Maimonides' Missing Torah, Laws of Non-Jewish Things, Chapter 9, Law 14. I mean, it would make more sense. That would make more sense than what he actually wrote, right? Just in case you don't know, Maimonides, or is it Maimonides? I'm confusing it, Maimonides, actually wrote the following in Mishnah Torah, Laws of Kings, Chapter 9, Law 4. How must Gentiles fulfill the commandment to establish laws and courts? They are obligated to set up judges and magistrates in every major city to render judgments concerning these seven mitzvot and to admonish the people regarding their observance. So that's what Rambam actually said. Or Maimonides. And the Talmud states the following in Tractate Sanhedrin, folio 56b. The Baraita informs us that they were commanded to set up law courts in every district and town. But were not the sons of Noah likewise commanded to do this? Surely it's been taught, just as the Israelites were ordered to set up law courts in every district and town, so were the sons of Noah likewise enjoined to set up law courts in every district and town. End quote. Now I'd laugh if somebody believed that the law courts we were supposed to set up had to be headed up by a Jew and slash or a rabbi. That'd be funny. I'd love to know how Adam and Noah got commanded that. When Nachmanides, otherwise known as Ramban, taught that not only are non-Jews supposed to set up their own judges, but that God commanded them, or us, about the details of theft, rape, wages, debtors, etc. All this stuff comparable to the civil laws Israel were commanded. That's in his commentary in Genesis 34, verse 13. The rabbi explaining this this teaching in footnote 45 of page 224 to 225 of a book called Ramban, the Torah, with Ramban's commentary translated, annotated, and elucidated, that rabbi said the following. Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah 51:8, understands Ramban to mean that the Noahide courts are expected to judge in full compliance with the monetary law of the Torah. But it is also possible, however, that Ramban means only that the Noahide courts are expected to devise a legal system of monetary laws of their own, just as the Jewish people have such a system in the Torah, not necessarily identical to that system. And then he quotes some inaccessible Jewish sources. End quote. So I guess it's fairly clear that we Gentiles should be or become responsible for our own laws to help and teach ourselves more than needing Jews to, for all intents and purposes, rule us. And then someone's going to say, oh, but David, they're not ruling us, they're only teaching and guiding us. When it's said by certain rabbis and their followers that rabbis have to make rulings, they use that word, rulings, for us Gentiles, a word that means authoritative, controlling decisions, and that to teach that, if Gentiles need advice regarding the application of the seven laws that is deemed difficult, he must consult a learned Jew. And that's in the Divine Code, Part 1, Chapter 5, Topic 4. And that's page 89 to 90 in printed editions. Now, I know that some may point me to its footnote as if that helps their case, but I've read it. And I see that grave doubts are placed on Gentile reasoning as the author deems it, similar to Richmond above, that certain topics require such a breadth of Torah knowledge that is doubtful that any Gentile can get the exact proper decision. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe rabbis did such a poor job. In England, they say a piss poor job of teaching Gentiles called Noahides, as they have been doing for at least over a decade, and the so-called Noahide movement is supposed to have begun sometime in the previous century, so I'm being kind to describe it as just over a decade. So they did such a piss poor job teaching these Noahides that these Noahides are still incapable of applying our own laws. And once again, if they're so bad at teaching Gentiles, what hope do the students of rabbis amongst their own people have? Or maybe, just maybe, it is as I've said in a previous article. Although God placed the Jewish Torah close to them, according to Deuteronomy 30, he placed our seven laws inaccessibly far from us. Maybe, right? Damn, I'm doing that incredulous sarcasm again, aren't I? Look, as you may see, I don't agree with Richmond's opinion that everyone, including all Gentiles seeking to know the ways of the Torah and to attach themselves to the God of Israel, needs a rabbi. If he only meant those who want to attach themselves to Israel, then I may agree. But I want to add that I noticed something about his wording. To me, there's something in his wording that, wording of this specific part, that hints at connection to Israel. It's like he's either talking about Gentiles wanting to get close to Israel, or that the only way to learn about the seven laws is to join Israel in some fashion. Why do I say this? For two reasons. Firstly, he mentions ways of the Torah. He doesn't say something specific to Gentiles like the seven laws or human morality. No, he refers to the ways of Torah. The term Torah normally refers to the 613 laws of the Jews or the traditions held by them, which is wider than the obligation for non-Jews. So this terminology at least hints at Israel's teachings. Secondly, he says the God of Israel, to me a specific term. He doesn't say the God of creation, the God of all mankind, terms that could attach himself to everyone. No, he uses a term pointing specifically, or pointing to the specificity of Israel. That's why I think he's pointing to a joining with Israel, or at least hinting at it. You know what? I'm good at overthinking, focusing too much on wording. Maybe this is one occasion where I may be reading too deeply. Maybe. Or maybe he had, you know, had different reasons for using this wording. Whatever, you can just overlook that focus on his wording. Anyway, here is my own individual, Gentile, undisciplined, uneducated opinion, which, as you know, you are free to ignore. See, that should be a clear enough sign for anyone who skips past all my previous verbal wranglings. So the question was this. I'm not a Jew. I want to live a righteous life. I've heard of the seven laws and I agree with them. But they're talked about in the Jewish tradition. So do I need a rabbi to live a righteous life? Do I need a rabbi full stop? Or period? Now, firstly, does a Gentile need a rabbi? No. Simple, isn't it? We can go home now. Okay, maybe not. All right, so... No. A rabbi refers to a Jew who is sufficiently learned in Jewish law to make legal decisions for his Jewish community. In times past, this would be a tangible national role for his people, like a Jewish judge or a Jewish teacher. Since what was a national covenant of Torah has been diluted into a religion called Judaism, the rabbi has become something more like a religious minister. But at no point in the evolution or devolution of the role has the Jew gained any authority over a Gentile. A Gentile doesn't need regular contact with a rabbi, doesn't need to be under the wing of a rabbi, no, none of that. Just to say, I am focusing on the word need. There is no need for a rabbi. And to add, yes, the Torah does contain information for Gentiles, seven laws and moral expectations and information about God. But as rabbis like Samson Raphael Hirsch taught, a Gentile can learn much of that without Torah, by which I'm referring to the traditions the Jews received. You don't need regular contact with a Jew to figure out stealing is wrong. You don't even need a rabbi to tell you idols are fake and worshipping them shouldn't be done. So do you need a rabbi full stop? No. Hell no. What about this? Does a Gentile need a rabbi to live a good, happy and moral life? Again, absolutely not. No. As I've said in previous articles, a Gentile can avoid forbidden acts and be a decent person. But David, they need to do it because God commanded it to Moses at Sinai. Okay. When I wrote that, I was literally laughing. Why did you interrupt me, David, devil's advocate David? Dad, you're funny. Although people claim that Maimonides said this, you know, about a person needs to keep the commands because God commanded. Although Maimonides said this, people say that Maimonides said that, he didn't. He said nothing about being moral and happy. He didn't even say that if a person lives in accordance to the seven laws but doesn't accept God and Sinai, they are therefore sinful and bad people. His issue was getting into the world to come, and I'm not even sure where he gets the idea from. But just to avoid further argument, let me just continue with my uneducated opinion. A Gentile can avoid the forbidden acts and be a decent person and be happy without a rabbi. I know some make it complex and complicated. I'd say that for a good amount of life, if not all of it, it's not that hard. In fact, nowadays, with the proliferation of books by rabbis, I need to correct that, books by rabbis about the seven laws, and about, you know, it's easier than ever before to learn about many of the details of the seven laws and morality without a rabbi. There may even be some friendly Gentile learners of the Torah to answer some questions. It does not have to be a rabbi or a Jew to teach you the foundational or possibly intermediate levels of the seven laws or human morality. Now, if a Gentile wants to possibly have more of a chance of becoming an expert at the details of the seven laws, knowing the finer intricacies, or if you want to find more Gentiles that know about the seven laws, or if, you know, if that Gentile wants a Torah-learned Jewish advisor, then the Gentile may need a rabbi. And that's only nowadays. If a miracle happens, and Gentiles actually fully learn our laws, and we actually apply them to national and community laws, thereby making it part of Gentile education, then the need for a rabbi becomes even less, because we'd have our own experts, just as there are Gentile teachers in our Gentile schools. But that's just a dream about a future I may never see. But to the general question of whether a Gentile needs a rabbi, I'd say most likely no, and possibly much less than is advocated by most rabbis and Noahites. So should I now be prepared to duck? Okay. All right, that's it. That's the post. If you listen to it, thank you very much, and have yourself a wonderful day.